Chapter number 10 in your Bible, Joshua chapter number 10, and page 83 in your book. We are making some progress. We are not quite halfway through the book, but we are on the 12th person out of 40. And so I hope you're getting some help out of these studies. If I had to have positive feedback, I don't know if we'd go on or not. I believe I'm pastoring the mute church tonight. I won't use the Bible word. What the Bible called people that couldn't talk, the dumb. That's what I'm just trying to get a laugh or a smile or some form of movement. Just exaggerating your breathing. Let me know you're alive. I'm just kidding. All right. I don't want to rock you to sleep, so let's stand. We'll read a verse together. Two verses, actually. Joshua chapter 10. We'll honor God's word as we stand. Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. Let's look at it. Preach from here not too. Well, it's been a good while, but preached a series on three miracles in the life of Joshua. On transition, I remember I began that series talking about how God did something different than he had ever done before in the life of Joshua, and began in one area and moved through the life of Joshua. But one of those messages was when the sun stood still, and that's where we find ourselves here in the life of Joshua this evening. Joshua 10, verse 13, the Bible said, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I want to read verse 14 again and just listen. I mean, verse 13 and 14 are both powerful. Matter of fact, I want to back up and read verse 12 because verse 13 is the actual answer to the prayer. And where the prayer had been prayed in verse 12, but in verse 13, we see the answer. We see God, having heard the voice of Joshua and heard the prayer and the cry of his child and his servant Joshua. And, I mean, verse 14 said, "And there was no day like that before it or after it." I say that was a pretty awesome miracle, a pretty awesome wonder that God worked. And but let's back up and look at verse 12. "Then spake Joshua to the Lord." This is his prayer. "In the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." Verse 13, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day." Listen to verse 14. "And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Boy, that just encapsulates prayer. That little phrase found in verse 14 is probably as good of a definition of prayer as there are anywhere. And the phrase is this, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. The Lord not only heard, but hearkened to the voice of a man. Well, most of us have been saved and in church about our whole life, if not all of our life, a lot of our life. As I look around, most of us have been, I mean, we've heard this, we've heard prayer taught on, preached on for years and years and years, sang about. But prayer should never get mundane and normal and just run-of-the-mill and boring to us. When we consider what prayer is. I mean, we're in the middle of a prayer study. This is the 12th person in the people of prayer study we're involved in. And for weeks and months, me and Brother Jackie have teamed up together and tried to teach and encourage and strengthen our hearts in the truth concerning prayer. And prayer is a powerful thing. To know that man can speak toward heaven and pour out our petition to the God of heaven, and he will hear, and not just hear, but hearken to a man's voice is mind-boggling. But he does. And so this study focuses on how prayer gives way for God to do the impossible. And if all we needed God to do was the possible, there wouldn't be a whole lot of need for prayer. I mean, we need God to do things, and we need to pray about things that are possible and that could happen, you know, outside the realm of the impossible. But do you realize, and highlighted in this text, there's some things we're going to come up against in life that is absolutely in and of our own means, or the means of any other man or group of people, is going to be absolutely impossible. If it's going to get done, there's but one source that it'll come from, and that's from none other than the only one who can do the impossible, and that's God. And boy, aren't you glad that you're saved, and being saved gives us the benefit of having the ear of heaven bent toward us, and that will hear us and hearken to us and work and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's what we want to look at this evening. Prayer is the means by which God puts himself full force into the affairs of mankind. That's so good. Prayer sets forth into motion that which would not have occurred had it not been activated by the audacious asking of some saint. There's some things that will never start. There's some things in life that will never happen outside the boundaries of prayer. We can talk to people, and that's good. There's wisdom in the counsel of in the multitude of counsel. It's good to get godly advice. I preached on godly counsel recently. And talking to people and getting help from people is a blessing. Getting help from church is a blessing. I thank God for the help I've received from the house of God and the people of God. But there's times in life, Brother Jackie, when a preacher cannot do for me what I need done. And a group of deacons and a group of men and women, saved as they are, sanctified and set apart as they are, as much as they love God and love me, there's some things, Brother Steve, people can't do for me. And that's true about you. There's some things only the God of heaven can do. And prayer is what moves us outside the realm of what's possible among men and takes us into the area where only God and God alone can do and can work on behalf of us if it's going to get done. And so prayer does the impossible because it calls upon the one who works in such a realm. In response to the disciples' inquiry about who can enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, we've quoted that verse over and over. I have, you have. Boy, with God, nothing's impossible. But how many times I've just scooted right along that first part of that. With men, it's impossible. And go back to the context of what Jesus is speaking about. When we hear that verse, most of the time my mind goes to different things, like God providing something, or God, the provision of God, or the promises of God, or whatever. But look at that verse again and what it's talking about. The disciples' inquiry about who can enter into the kingdom of heaven. What more could be bigger? What miracle, what thing could we highlight to make it seem? I thought today as I was studying and meditating over this, we think about miracles. And when I preached on this series, I think it was, I titled the series, The Wonder Working Power of God, The Mighty Wonders of God. And dealing with the miracles in Joshua's life, and I thought about all the miracles. I mean, the sun stood still because Joshua asked God to do it. What a miracle. And the Bible said, we just read it, there had never been a day like this before or after. What a day. And when I read that and I was thinking, how could I illustrate a miracle of that magnitude? What can I usher into our presence to ring our bell and to wake us up and this to be something relevant? Something that we're not looking back in a historic fashion and think, well, that happened for Joshua thousands of years ago. What possibly could we think about in our life personally, Jerry, that I could say, boy, there ain't never been a day like that. And there ain't been like one like it since, and never will be. What in my life moved me to the realm of impossibility? What did I face that was impossible? What did you face that was insurmountable, that was way bigger than you could ever accomplish? I'll give you a hint. It's the biggest thing that's ever happened to you. It's the biggest thing that ever will happen to you. Bigger than getting married, Brother Cam, Sister Taylor. Bigger than having a child. Bigger than joining a church. Bigger than getting baptized. What? It's that issue that we all had to face and come to the reality when God the Holy Ghost brought us under conviction and revealed to us that we was a sinner. Not just that we had sinned, Brother Cliff, but we are sinners, born into sin, continuing into sin. And we by that very nature and by those actions, we are guilty before the God of heaven, condemned in our sin. And there we stood before the holy God of heaven. How could we ever cross that chasm? How could we ever enter into His presence as unholy and wicked as we was? Impossible. A way bigger chasm than getting cancer healed. It'd take a way bigger miracle for me to become righteous, for me to become holy, than it would for somebody to go from having cancer covering their body to being completely whole. I'm saying, when God saved me, He invaded my life and moved into the area of absolute impossibility. There was no way me or you could have ever fixed that. There's no way we could have ever worked hard enough or been good enough or lived right enough to ever fix the fact we are sinners. It was impossible. There was nothing we could do. There was nothing no preacher or priest could do. There was nothing no church or religion could do. But the God of heaven, at the end of a prayer, when confession was made, salvation was given, when faith was placed,
in Him. He reached down into our impossible situation at the end of a prayer, at the end of a heart that was hungry after Him, and said, "I'm guilty, Lord. I'm a sinner. This is who I am. I agree with You. You are absolutely right. I am guilty. Lord, I'm guilty." I remember Brother Ned feeling so dirty and low down and black as soot and in deep in my sin. I said, "God, everything You say about me is true. I could never get out of this place. I deserve hell. And Lord, if You send me there, You'll be right in doing so. But oh, I plead for Your grace. And would You forgive me and grant mercy to me and love me?" And in and of myself, it was impossible. But oh, with Him, He made it possible. And I can say, along with Joshua, there ain't never been a day like that, before nor after. You say, "Well, they was in my life." Good. But there ain't never been one like that in mine. September 21st, 1991. The gladdest day of my life. That's when darkness turned into light. That's when my heavy load becomes so light. And I got saved by the grace of God. God wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, giving me a ticket to heaven, and guaranteed me He would get me there. Yeah. I could never have got there on my own. And you couldn't either. But prayer made that possible. Yes. Ain't that good? With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We want to limit the words of Christ to mean all things are possible within reason. You say, "Well, God saved me, but I don't know if He can save that in there. He's just so far out there." You got a child that's deep in drugs, deep in sin, that's so far gone. Maybe a niece or a nephew, a husband or a wife. And you think, and you've sometimes given up hope. "Lord, they're so far gone. I don't even know where they're at. I sure don't know how they're living." There's some people in here right now. I know that's how your broken mother's heart feels. I pray for your children. And I promise you, He found me, and He can find them. He saved me, He can save them. Don't give up hope. It's not just all things are possible within reason. No, it's all things are possible, period. All things are possible if they can be explained or logically resolved in the minds of men. All things are possible, even if it don't make sense. I can take you and testify to you, and you don't have time and I don't either, but I could testify to you tonight about some things I've prayed for that made literally no sense. I mean, if I was to lay it out before men and say, "This is what the Lord's wanting to do," they looked at me like I was lost my mind. But through prayer and through the help of God, it came to pass. And it defied logic. And so we should never put God in a box and say, "Well, if we can work this out." I'm for having budgets. I am. I don't think we should be silly and foolish with our money. But there's sometimes when God will say, I want to test your faith. I want you to step out by faith. And I want you to move forward whether there's enough dollars and cents in the bank or not." Again, I'm not saying be foolish, but I'm also saying we shouldn't limit God. If He moves and speaks and leads, I mean, first of all, know it's God's will. But if it is, you can be confident and move forward. He has never left anybody hanging. And it defies logic in the minds of men. All things are possible if it makes sense. But the truth is, there are many aspects of prayer that does not make sense in the natural realm. Furthermore, there are many answers we receive in prayer that cannot be conceivably reconciled in the minds of unbelievers. My, how true that statement is. Lost people will think, "Well, that just don't add up. I mean, they're crazy. There ain't no way
You mean to tell me you just heard a preacher preach and you got down and prayed a prayer and all that's forgiven? Well, that don't add up to them. They feel like you ought to have to pay restitution and pay penance. That's what religion has cloaked righteousness in. It's the Catholic Church. You got to say so many Hail Marys and you got to pay your penance and do your diligence. No, my friend, in the minds of men, it don't add up. But in the grace of God, in the mind and heart of God, it absolutely adds up, because Christ paid the price. And it's not by works in my own self. It's not of good deeds I could do. No, it was the good grace and mercy of God. It was the price He paid, not the price that I could work out and pay. Yes. And so, in lost men's mind, it don't add up. And they can never understand the heart of God and the mind of God and the whole ordeal of prayer. But if you're saved and you've been active in praying, you shouldn't have to. Hey, listen, let me give you this challenge. You shouldn't have to get Preacher Kerrigan's book back there and read it and read about the miracles that happened in his life for you to understand and believe in prayer. You shouldn't have to hear my testimony and let me tell you how God has moved and blessed and worked miracles in my life at the access of prayer for you to believe. Listen, you have just as much audience with God as I do. You have just as much sway with God as Preacher Kerrigan did, as any man does. And so get with it. What's holding you back from asking God to do the impossible? So, I just can't do it. Oh, you can. There's nothing. And I plead with you. Show me a verse in that Bible that says I can do something with God that you can't. As a child of God, no, the ground is level. Yes, there's a calling on my life to be a preacher. That has nothing to do with prayer. Nothing. You have absolutely as much right and as much ability as I do, or as Brother Jackie does, or any man does, to go into the presence of God and say, Lord, this is my impossibility. This is what I cannot work out. This is what I cannot pay. This is what I cannot figure out. This is what no man can help me do. And I'm coming to you. And you alone. I'm coming into your presence and I'm laying out my impossible situation. And I believe you can do this.
Amen.
And God, and you petition Him and you plead with Him and you pray to Him. Brother Jackie, you know, we can go from 12 to 40 and finish this book and have all this knowledge and not miss a minute of any of these lessons. And it will mean nothing compared to if somebody in this church will grab hold of what I'm saying tonight and say, I'm going to do that. And they do it one time and see, I didn't talk to nobody. I didn't tell nobody. I didn't even tell my wife what I was asking Him for. And I knew nobody could fix it. I knew nobody could do it. But in private, didn't let my left hand know what my right hand was doing. I closed my closet door and I went in and only talked to the God of heaven and Shazam.
Amen, Baker.
It happened.
Amen.
You know what that'll do? That will increase your faith. That will push you into prayer like nothing any man could teach you, preach to you, or push or pry you into doing if you'll just simply try it and experience it for yourself. So I beg of you, that's the challenge tonight. Quit asking God for the possible things, the things that you can describe away and say, well, that was just going to happen anyway. In other words, quit asking for small potatoes and ask God for the farm.
Amen. Amen.
And when He delivers the farm, you won't need me encouraging you to pray. You'll be encouraging me to pray. Preacher, He did it. Nobody knew. Nobody could have done it. And I woke up one I'll give you one little small example. Me and Jenny was down in Georgia, and it was hard times. It was early on, and we was broke as a joke. I mean, we didn't have nothing. Girls were little. We were just and it's the truth. We said, we ain't going to ask nobody. Goodness, Lord's been good to us. We're down here pastoring the church, and we ain't going to complain, and we didn't. We didn't tell nobody. We didn't have food, but we didn't have food. And we said, we'll eat every can in the pantry down to the last one before we'll ever say a word to anybody. And we was down to the last can. I'm talking about pork and beans, and that's it. And we prayed. We didn't tell nobody, but we prayed. And we went to church hungry. So, Lord, our youngins ain't got no food to eat. We went to church and didn't tell a soul. And when we got home, God been my witness, and she'll tell you. There wasn't money on the porch for us to go grocery shopping. They was groceries on the porch. Bags and bags and bags. And you know what? It's better than money when you're hungry. Food. And there it was, wasn't it? And that's without telling anybody but Him who can do the impossible. And if He did it for me, He can do it for you. Amen. And He will do it for you. He ain't no respecter of persons. So, what is it that you need? What is it that you want that ain't to consume upon your own lust? Ask Him. Amen. Say, well, He might say no. That's the worst that can happen. He might say yes. So ask Him. Ask Him. Yeah. Okay. Goodness, we got to hurry. Such is the case with Joshua's prayer. After defeating the city of Ai, the children of Israel faced the collective forces of the Amorite army. The Amorites aligned themselves with five other kings in hopes of destroying the advancement of God's people in the land. And Joshua prepared for the worst. And the Lord gave victory against the enemy. Empowered with the promises of God, Joshua and his mighty men overcame the Amorite army. In the heat of the battle, Joshua prayed and asked God to make the sun stand still so that he would have enough time to destroy all the enemy in a solitary day. In an awesome display of the unparalleled power, God answered his request. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it before or after it. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Pause right there and say, I hadn't mentioned that last tag in that verse. Is there some battle that seems impossible to win? Is there some battle you need help fighting? Do you realize you don't have to fight your battles alone? The battles. How many of y'all remember that old song? I can't remember if it was the McCamies or it was an old group years ago. It wasn't the McCamies. It was another group my mama used to listen to when I was little. And the song, you'll know the song, "The Battle's Not Mine," said little David. "Oh, it's thine. I'm in your favor. The battle's not mine. The battle's the Lord's. He'll fight your battle." Well, that's a blessing. Now, if you're not in the middle of one, that may not mean a lot. But when the enemy's pressing down and the bullets are whizzing by your head and you feel like you hadn't been able to even come up for air, and you feel like you're living in the foxhole and you just need to come up for breath and you're tired and weary and worn and you hadn't had a fresh drink of water and you're filthy from fighting, and weary from war, it's a comfort to know He will fight your battles. I bet you David would have testified about that fact when he went out to face that uncircumcised Philistine who was cussing his God. David knew he wasn't no match for him. David knew Goliath would have tore him to pieces. And everything that giant cussed and said he would do, He could have, had not a bigger giant named God fought for David.
Amen.
You do know David didn't do that. You better reread that account. David, I know we've learned in Sunday school and been taught that David had five smooth stones and he got his little sling and he threw that and killed that giant. You believe what you want to. Last time I checked, you hit someone in the front of the head with a rock, they don't fall forward. I believe about the time that little pebble got there, God said, pow, in the back of the head and killed that joker. That's why he fell forward. God did it. God was fighting his battle.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he'll fight yours. He was fighting for Joshua. Such a daring request is bothersome to the unbelievers and to many believers alike. For in it there is a measure of faith that cries for divine intervention, a reaching forth to something beyond human capability or understanding. It calls from the natural realm for an answer that can only be distributed in the supernatural realm. It calls from the natural realm for an answer that can only be distributed in the supernatural realm. Prayer gives life to the barren womb. Think about that. We've preached about women. Just a few lessons ago, we talked about that mother who was barren, couldn't have a child, and it was prayer that brought life to the womb. Of a womb that was barren. Not just to a barren womb, but prayer calls down fire from heaven. Prayer can restore health to the afflicted and years to the dying saint. This week I went to see Brother Steve Presley the other morning, and we had just a good time of fellowship and talked for a good hour or more. And was out there talking, I said, Steve, I seen on Facebook last week Kelly had put something about her grandpa, Tom Presley, and when he had passed. And it had been like 20 years. I mean, it had been a long time. And I remember when Tom died. And I said, ain't no way that's been that long. I mean, and then Betty Lou, it popped up. She put something about it. And that had been, I said, I remember when Betty Lou died. Anyway, I told Steve, I said, I can't believe it's been that long since your daddy died. And he said, well, you know, daddy didn't take the chemo. I said, yeah, really? He said, but there's a story behind it. He said, he lived 5 years with cancer with no chemo. I said, wow, that's amazing. He said, but Steve's lip quivered. You don't see Steve look quiver much. He said, but there's a story behind that. I said, tell me about it. I want to hear it. He said, well, he said, we found out that he was dying, and we thought he was dying like the next day. That's how bad the cancer was. And he said, I was crying. And he said, I called Mary Lou Hams. Steve said, I didn't know what to do. And so I called Mary Lou, and Mary Lou told me, said, Steve, go get in your closet. And I mean go get in your closet and close the door. And you tell God what you told me. And you tell God what you want him to do. Steve said, all I need to do was do what she told me to do. So he said, I went and got in my closet and I shut the door. And he said, if I'd have knew God was going to answer, I'd have asked for more.
Amen.
He said, but I felt like 5 years was a lot and a long time. And he said, Lord, if you'd just let my daddy live 5 years, that'd be all I ask. Guess what? His daddy with cancer, with no chemo, with nothing, lived five wonderful, healthy, happy years. Reckon that was by coincidence or accident? No, I'll tell you what that was. That was an answer to prayer. That was because somebody went into their closet and shut the door and said, Lord, I got an impossible situation. These experts and these doctors have spent years studying this stuff. This is what they say. And I'm just a country man, and I don't know much about cancer, but I know you, and I'm asking you if you'd be gracious on my daddy and give him 5 years. God said, okay. I'll take your impossible situation, and God made it possible.
Amen.
And it happened, didn't it, Wanda? 5 years, exactly what he asked for. I had no idea this is what I was teaching this week, but that, isn't it amazing how the Lord just put little stories like that right in your path, right when you need them. Fits just perfect. Prayer can restore the health of the afflicted and add years to the dying saint. Prayer can pause the orbit of the noonday sun to shine its rays of hope into the most heated parts of the battle. Prayer has the courage to ask God to do that which only God can do. You ought to underline that in your book. Prayer has the courage to ask God to do what only God can do. Get courageous in your prayer life. Stop being cautious and conservative in your prayer life. Get bold. I'm going to say this and be done. Do you know we have let certain denominations rob us of a whole lot? I'm not a name it and claim it preacher or Christian. I don't believe we ought to boss God around and demand God, you better do this. That is way off base. That is not what I'm saying. But I do believe we have went far in the other direction and are so timid with God and veer from even asking Him for hard things. And that's wrong. I think we should. I think He's interested in the smallest of things in your life and mine. And in the largest.
Amen.
There's nothing too hard for Him. And I just believe He wants to flex for us and show us just how wonderful of a Lord He is.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
To be certain with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible, and such is the power of prayer. I'll give you these two verses and we'll close. Genesis 18:14. Quote, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. And Luke 17:6, if you have had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. And it should obey you. That is not what I said. That's what God said.
Amen.
If we had just a little bit of faith, not a lot, but just a little bit, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, we could say to that sycamore tree, be thou cast into the sea, and it will be planted in the sea. I didn't say that. I wouldn't be so foolish. But it becomes way unfoolish and wise when God says it.
Amen.
And He said it. So again, it's time we begin praying again for the impossible. I challenge you. Even if you don't have an impossibility right now going on in your life, find something. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. This is what we're going home with, and I'm challenging with. How many of you would say, if God would do something so big and undeniable for me, it would increase my faith to the point it would make me want to pray more. It will me. So why wouldn't we focus on that and get faithful about praying for something like that and say, Lord, this is what it is. I ain't telling nobody. This is between me and you. I'm not asking this consuming upon my own lust. This is an impossibility in my life. This is something I can't do. And I'm not just seeking this for my own goodwill, but Lord, this will increase my faith to the place it will make me a better Christian. It'll make me a better prayer warrior. And it'll be for your glory.
Amen.
So God, I'm asking you this. And don't just ask him one time. Ask him. And then ask him. And ask him. Until he does it. And when he does, it will be undeniable. And it'll be way more powerful than any message you've ever heard. And it'll be the greatest shot of fuel that'll keep your motor running for a long, long, long time. Matter of fact, I don't think he'll ever get over it. You think Joshua ever forgot that day? I doubt it. I doubt it, very seriously. If I saw the sun stand still all day long because I asked him to do it, I promise you I'd never forget that. And if you ask God to do something of equal value, he's proved he'll do it, and it'll be for our good and for his glory. Amen. All right, let's stand. Thank you for your patience and your presence this evening.